I would invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bible. We'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in light we may see light. And in your truth may we find freedom, and in your will we discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. The word of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I think so often we see this passage of Scripture and we think it's a passage of Scripture that we so often use for funerals. But I think it's a passage of Scripture that offers us so much more. Because are you troubled by the evening news? Really, it's difficult for us to find any good news anymore when we tune in at night to watch the news. Daily we hear of the Omicron virus now and how the numbers continue to explode and what's going on and how things are supposed to be moving along, and we really don't understand what's going on. And everybody's an expert, and all you need to do is go to YouTube and find more people that are doctors giving their opinions on what we should be doing next. And it's to the point sometimes I just shake my head because I really don't know what to believe other than what my doctor tells me. What about all those tornadoes that have been going through the U.S., how it's destroyed towns, destroyed lives? What about the flooding in B.C.? In one sense, it's almost old news, even though they're left there to clean up the mess and move on with their lives. And in most cases, all they can do is pick up and move away. What about all the businesses that have struggled the last few years, being closed, and now as they're trying to open, just trying to get enough help to stay open? What about our teachers and our nurses? All the work that they've been putting in, the struggles and the stress and the overtime and the burnout. We're hearing that daily on the news, what they're going through. And yet these are just a few of the things that come to mind. What about for each one of us? What about life in general? I think there's an awful lot of people, they basically have said, I'm sick of COVID. I'm just moving on. I'm not going to follow the rules anymore. What about our health? What about our jobs? What about our investments? What about our wayward kids? What about the housing market we see that's exploding, and those who would love to get a home someday as a dream now see that it's something that may never be fulfilled? Oh yeah, I forgot. What about climate change? Everybody's crying about climate change. That's another thing as well. And I'm not going to be political here and tell you what I think of it, but I think it's real, but I think it's not, and that's just me. What about the trillions of dollars that keep getting printed, everything, just to keep things moving along, trying to stimulate the economies? And I think as we're entering into a new year, and by the way, Happy New Year, after all that, I'm not so sure, but Happy New Year, I see people beginning to lose heart. People are edgy. People are worried. They're focused on things that they can't do anything about, and perhaps maybe they never could. I think as believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, that one thing we need to do this year is we need to stay focused. God has a plan for his children as we wait for the return of the Lord. He is our peace in our times of trouble. And if we stay focused in on the Word of God, we see that it will inspire confidence and insurance. Whenever there's an emergency situation in a crowded setting, the first thing someone shouts as people begin to panic is, "Everyone, please remain calm." Now there's t-shirts, there's posters, there's coffee mugs now. They all tell us to stay calm and carry on. We hear so much of it, it's almost like a cliche. But I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think when an emergency hits us in life and we don't stay calm in that situation that we're going through, I don't think we're going to survive as well. We have a saying around our farm at home: when something happens, don't panic. It's going to cost us a lot of money. Quite often that happens. You panic, you react, you overdo what you should have. But how do we remain calm as we begin a new year? It seems as if the wheels are going to fall off our lives once again. Government really doesn't know what to be doing here, and we hear of all these medical experts, as I said earlier. And I think we're really in a spot in our lives as we enter into the depths of winter that we're like, now what? I would like us to consider four ways that we should live in the light considering the coming return of Christ. Because Christ is going to return. He said so. I think the first thing to go when our life gets so chaotic is our calm and our peace. So this sermon today, I hope, is fitting, knowing that we can look to the future within the peace in the light of soon the return of the Prince of Peace himself. The foundation for this message this morning is John 14, 1-6. And it's quite often that passage of scripture that's read at funerals, but I believe there's so much more. It's the first verse of which provides Christ's words in a summary form: "Let your heart not be troubled." Why did Jesus speak these words to his disciples? Because they're tempted to be troubled. Yes, there's reasons for this is different from ours, but 2,000 years between Jesus' words and our days proves the point that man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward in Job chapter 5, verse 7. Regardless where we live, the time in which we live, there is a temptation for us to lose our peace amidst the troubles of this world. Even if we didn't have this pandemic, we all would experience troubles in our world. Noting that Jesus was troubled in John chapter 13, 21 at the impending betrayal by Judas says it all the more. For if Jesus felt troubled in his life, how much more are we to feel the same way? Shortly after thinking about Judas' betrayal, Jesus had to deal with Peter's denial. So when it came to prepare his disciples for his departure, they'd seen the master deal with troubles on his own. When Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled," the disciples had good reason to heed to his words. And so do we. Must have come as a shock to the disciples to realize that Jesus was preparing to leave them. Their whole expectation had been about this establishment of the kingdom of God, and now Jesus is leaving them. Disciples found it very difficult and hard to believe in John 13, 33 to 37. Not only was Jesus leaving, but Jesus was leaving them behind. A fact that Peter found particularly disconcerting. He says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake," in John chapter 13, verse 37. This exchange with the disciples sets the stage for Jesus' words to them: "Do not be troubled. Sensing their unrest, Jesus gives them a words of assurance that he is going to prepare a better place for them and that he is coming back to take them to where he is going. And those same words can give us comfort today. We try to navigate through life, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. John 14, chapter 14, verse 3. I think we see in this passage here that Jesus, he asks us to believe in a person. Jesus asks his disciples to believe in him. After all, words mean nothing unless they come from a trustworthy person. It had taken 3 years for Jesus to convince his disciples that his claims were true. They believed in the God of Israel before Jesus came, and now after 3 years, they believe in him. Matthew 16:16. But their faith would be radically shaken by the upcoming crucifixion, and Jesus knew it. Thus, he tells them ahead of time, you believe in God, believe in me also. John 14:1. Many people are cynical about trusting in leaders, politicians, religious leaders, doctors, as we navigate through this time of COVID. We see so many people who don't trust, as I said, medical doctors, scientists, and so on, and yet they turn to YouTube or they heard from a friend of a friend of a friend who said, this is how you cure it. Throughout history, we've learned the hard way. There's no one human is ultimately completely trustworthy. Human beings will always disappoint you. It's true today, and it was so in the days of the disciples. Jesus reminds them, and he reminds us, he is trustworthy. He knew that his coming crucifixion would cause them temporarily to doubt him. Believing that he would be not true to his word until the resurrection, Jesus needed the disciples to keep their faith alive and to believe in him, regardless of what happened. The first prerequisite for navigating through chaotic times in our world is to trust in the words of only the trustworthy person. And that trust begins by believing in who he claims to be. To be certain of the future, you must be certain today that your future is secure in Jesus. As he told his disciples, Jesus is going to return and take those who believed in him to be with him in a place that he is now preparing. But only those who put their faith in him will be received by him when he returns. The famous songwriter John H. Sammis wrote those famous lines, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." I came across this cute little illustration, a little boy singing in a church these words, and he sang, "Trust and okay." Perhaps that's a perfect reinterpretation of Jesus' words to the disciples. Trust in me, and everything will be okay. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, life will never be perfectly okay until when Christ returns. But by trusting in his promises, we can live with trouble-free hearts. It begins with placing our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man who came to earth to seek and save the lost. Like you, like me, we were lost. Jesus asks us to believe in a place. If we settled on the first thing that Jesus asked us, that we believe in his person, it'd be easier to believe in what he promises, that there is a place where he is going, from which he will return, to which he will take us. He says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you." That place is obviously heaven. Many ways to think about heaven based on biblical references of a vast place, a city, a kingdom, a paradise. But the reference I like most when I think of heaven is found in John 14:2, the Father's house. Thinking of heaven as a house, it brings up images of warmth, security, joy, peace. I've been blessed to live in the home that I was raised in. To me, it was a place of love. It was a place of warmth. We were taught about the Word of God. And if you know my mom, there was lots of great food. And a lot of people have fond memories of the houses that they've lived in over the years. And we have the security of knowing that our Heavenly Father will never move out of our house. The house that Jesus is preparing for us will be ours for eternity. That promise is as trustworthy as Jesus himself. And if anyone else had said it, we would have reason to doubt it. But coming from Jesus, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6, we have every reason to believe what Jesus said is true. For those who aren't believers, the idea of heaven is laughed at by many people. I've heard the pie in the sky and the by and by, and heaven is not an invention of man. Heaven is a literal place prepared for literal people, inhabited at present by a literal Jesus who is making it ready for us. And I hope, my prayer is that you have this literal expectation if your faith is in Christ. Someday we're going to inhabit heaven. And what is troubling is that so many people are living as if this is as close to heaven as there is. You know, the trips, the money, living as if there's no tomorrow. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then this is as far away from heaven as you're ever going to get. But if you are a non-believer, then this is the here and now is as close to heaven as you will ever get. The words mansions is perhaps translated as rooms, speaking not of their opulence, but of their expansiveness. In other words, the Father's house has enough room for the disciples to whom Jesus originally made the promise to, and all of us who have believed in him by the time his appearing to take his church home. The Father's house is not subject to the rise and falls of a housing market, subprime loans, or any other market anomaly. The Father's house is sure. It is permanent, and it is large enough for all of us. Dr. Paul Tournier, a Swiss medical doctor and counselor, wrote a book called A Place for You. And in it, he made the point that he encountered people in his counseling practice who lived in their life with that sense of detachment, of being lost. Well, heaven is that place, as Dr. Tournier explained. You see, men and women long for heaven because of the truth of Ecclesiastes 3:11. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Men and women were to live eternally in the presence of God, which was what the new heaven and the new earth will provide in Revelation 21:1. We're not there yet, but we will be someday. Jesus asked us to believe in a promise. We can imagine the disciples upon hearing these words about the Father's house saying, "Do you promise?" Isn't that the response of a child when they hear something beyond their belief? Do you promise? All our kids growing up, when we said to them we were going to do something with them, they would look at us and say, "Mom, Dad, do you promise?" Anticipating that reaction, Jesus gives his disciples such a promise. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, for that where I may be, you also, in John 14:3. This isn't a promise about what happens to us when we die, that Jesus comes to get our soul and takes us to heaven. A parable of Jesus leads us to believe that, and indeed, we are ushered into paradise by heaven's angels when we die, in Luke 16:22. But that's not what Jesus is referring to in his promise. He's talking about the day when he returns to gather all those up to himself who believed in him, those who have died in the past, those who are alive. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18. And it is by now we see the disciples are getting the message. And that message is that we must understand it as well. Jesus intends on his disciples spending eternity with him. He's not leaving them permanently, but temporary. Jesus came to the earth to find them in Luke 19:10. He secures them in the Father's hand, John 10:29, and we go prepare a place in heaven for their occupancy, John 14:2, and then return for them and take them there in John 14:3. Are you confident of these facts? It's not a fantasy. It is time and space reality. Since these first two events have been accomplished, Christ found us and secured us. There is no doubt for us to doubt the future events will be accomplished as well. In fact, just before Jesus' arrest and trial, we once again find him confirming these facts to his fathers in prayer. We're in John 17:24. Jesus prays, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am." What kind of preparation is Jesus making for us now? We don't know. And speculation isn't going to help us out. All I know is what he's doing for us. I go prepare a place for you. John 14:2. If you and I had been only the lost sheep in Matthew 18:12, 13, he would have come and found us and prepared a place for us that is so great in his love for us. And in the midst of all this chaoticness that's going on in our world today, I hope that you are living in this great hope. When we substitute his truth for this world's troubles, we can enjoy that peace that God gives us once again. I think we need to refocus on why we're here, why God has placed us here, why God has called us in this time to be his people. Jesus asks us to believe in a plan. Jesus had taken that inductive approach to quelling his disciples' fear. He'd given them details. He'd given them a person, a place, and a promise. And now he asks them to believe in the details as part of his overall plan. And it's in the midst of our chaotic world, our COVID, climate change, the results of that, tornadoes, flooding and snow that places have never snowed before. And Jesus is asking us to believe in that same plan. When Thomas, the disciple who later demanded and received proof of Jesus' resurrection in John 20:24 to 28, heard of Jesus' promise, he expressed doubts. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And it is Jesus who said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:5 and 6. In essence, Jesus is the plan. Nothing else matters. No matter what happens today, tomorrow, next week, next year, we don't know the details. We only need to know Jesus. William Barclay, great scholar, wrote, Suppose we're in a strange town and ask for directions. Suppose that person says, well, take the first left, then go to the second right, not the dead end street, but the second left where the street looks like you may go up a hill a bit, then the road which you look like on the fourth on the left, then the tree losing its leaves by the green recycling bins, right there you should be. By then I'm totally confused. I'm totally lost. I've heard directions like that before. My wife and I look at each other and go, huh? Thank goodness for GPS. But let's look at it another way. Suppose that person says to you, come, follow me, I'll take you there. In that case, the person is the way, and that is what Jesus does for us. He doesn't tell us about the way. Jesus is the way. Have you noticed a trend in stores lately? If you stop and ask a clerk for a particular product, instead of telling you where it is and running the risk that you may not find it, become frustrated and leave, they take you to the appropriate location. Very helpful. That's what Jesus does for us. He doesn't tell us how to find the way. He becomes the way by which we get to heaven to be reunited with our Creator God. Please note this. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Christians, of course, are accused of the blatant intolerance today for believing and not mentioned saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We've become tolerant. We've become more accepting of other ways. We've watered down to the truth almost to the point that sometimes maybe we don't believe it anymore. It also wipes away any proposed ways to heaven, you know, good works, religious ceremonies, costly gifts. Jesus is the way to heaven, period. Jesus said it. The apostles echoed it in Acts 4:12. So we are all in very good company. That's the plan for all of us. No matter how chaotic 2022 becomes, no matter what you're facing personally in your life for the upcoming year, remain calm. Trust in God. Be confident in His plans for you. Live your life confidently, trusting Him for today, tomorrow. Dr. James M. Gray wrote, "Who could mind the journey if it leads us home?" Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can depend on Jesus because He is the way, the truth, the life. You can depend on Jesus because He will show us the way to the Father. He will reveal to you all truth. He will lead you to eternal life. You don't have to worry. Jesus will make a way in our life when there seems no way. Jesus will show us the truth when the devil will feed us nothing but a pack of lies. He will give you a life that no one can take away. You don't have to worry about the cares of the world because Jesus is the great I am. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares upon you. So we don't have to worry because we believe in God. Jesus prepared a place for us, and Jesus is someone we can depend on. You can worry if you want to, or you can trust Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bless You for our lives, and we give You praise for Your abundant mercy and grace that we receive. We thank You for Your faithfulness even when we're not that faithful to You, Lord Jesus. We just ask that You give us all around peace in our mind and body and soul and spirit. We want You to heal and remove anything that causes stress, grief, sorrow in our lives. But Father, please guide our path through life and make our enemies be at peace with us. Let Your peace reign in our family, at our place of work and businesses, and everything that we lay our hands on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.